So if you've been here for the last 2 or 3 months, you know we're talking about how do we keep on growing? How do we keep on maturing in who God calls us to be? Keep on becoming who we want to be as whole and mature followers of God. And as I thought about our concepts culturally of maturity, so often I think we see maturity as a place of arrival. I had sort of an epiphany and a sacramental moment, as most of us do when listening to the Beach Boys. And I was listening to their song, Wouldn't It Be Nice, which is mostly about romance. But there's some lines in it where they talk about, you know, once we are able to be older and get married, then we'll be happy. You guys remember that line? We could be married and then we'd be happy. And it's sort of this, like, you stop and think about that much, which is true about most Beach Boys lyrics, to be honest. But if you stop and think about it, you go, then we'd be happy. When we reach this point, we'll be happy. Things will be good. Everything's going to work out. And that got me thinking, too, about graduation. And we just celebrated our seniors, our high school seniors graduating here a couple months ago, a little over that. And I remember we talked as a congregation about our experience of graduation. What did that feel like when we graduated? And what graduation is sold to us as is now all of a sudden we have a real life and we're in the real world and we've accomplished this thing. And yet most of our experience of graduation is you wake up the next morning and pretty much feel the same. Or maybe just a little more scared and confused about what your life looks like. I remember I woke up the next morning and still had a zit on my face and I thought, well, that can't be. I'm not in high school anymore. But it was. We have this idea that we arrive, that somehow our growing up just sort of happens and we come to these places of rites of passage and all of a sudden we're adults or we've come to this place. And I think maybe we keep on filling in that blank, that we keep on saying, well, when this happens, then I'll be. Does that sound familiar? I know for me, there's a familiarity to that. And one of the things that I do is sort of a side note, and maybe you do this too, is when I get to that place, I sort of dismiss it as not important. That those areas of growth, you go, oh yeah, of course that happens. But it's interesting when we think about people graduating, graduation is not something that is a singular day. It's the culmination of the process to get there. Or if we think about a marriage is not, or a wedding, I should say, is not a marriage. A wedding is the event that happens that signals the reality of a relationship that's already started and the reality of a relationship that will have to continue to be fostered and nurtured and committed to. I really love this quote from Leo Tolstoy. He says, if people tell you you should live your life preparing for the future, do not believe them. Real life is found only in the present. And I think we think about maturity as arrival. We think about there's a place we're going to show up to, and that's when I know I'm mature. Instead of a process of I continue to grow, I was moved, I guess profoundly is the right word, not necessarily pleasantly, but profoundly by Jared's words several weeks ago during open worship when he pointed out when we were talking about naming that Jacob having his name changed to Israel, he who wrestles with God, was a naming of his journey in reality, and that he would continue to limp after that encounter. And I was moved to think about how often do we think that we're going to arrive to a place that's pleasant and happy, and that's what maturity looks like, rather than recognizing maturing continues to be a struggle and a process, not that all of us are named Israel. But maturity is not arriving. We talked last week about the way that Jesus talks about maturing and that Jesus brings it in this context of a vineyard, that it's organic, that it's growing, that it's moving. And in that same passage in John 15, where Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches, Jesus uses these words. He says, abide in me, make your home in my love. And somehow I think maturity might be more about abiding than it is about arriving. And those are not words that I'd ever sort of put together before in my thinking, but abiding is a different thing than just showing up and being static. Abiding is an active staying put. It's an active growing. It's an active staying in the place that you are on purpose, or staying in the relationship that you're in on purpose. Fruit happens when the branches stay connected to the vine. And if you've ever been around plants, those things keep moving as they grow. We've had these wood rounds. I don't know if I can pick this up with one hand. We'll see. I've had these wood rounds up all summer. And I was really excited that these were going to be heirlooms of North Valley, that they'd be things that we'd use up front for years and years and years, and the legacy that we'd remember 2022 with. And then they cracked. I don't know if y'all can see that. It's pretty serious cracks. And the thing that began to occur to me was that if you cut a tree apart in the middle of the summer and it's real wet, and then you let it sit in a real hot garage for 3 weeks, it has a tendency to do that. And I was encouraged. Somebody told me their dad cut down a tree a long time ago and did these rounds and put it under the house, you know, where it was wet and dark and damp and cool, and they still cracked. So I felt a little better that I hadn't done something that was an inability, or, you know, done something stupid. It just happens when you cut trees down. And it was such an obvious witness to this idea of staying connected, that trees don't crack in the summer if they've got water and they're connected to each other. But when you do this, they do. It's the natural outcome of separating the tree or the plant or the vine from its nutrients and resources. And maybe that's a metaphor for our own need to stay connected, that if we don't, even though it's a beautiful piece of wood, it's going to crack a little bit. So we have to learn to abide. We have to learn to be at home in God's love. And I think abiding is a much more active word than we give it credit for. I was really enjoying standing back here during prayer and just putting my hand on that tree. I don't know how old that tree is. Maybe some of you do, but I guess it's got to be at least 50 years old to be that tall. And just to feel the life in that tree and the presence in that tree. And that tree has been there. It hasn't gone anyplace. It's been there the whole time it's been alive. And I was thinking about how much trees, we don't think about it, but trees are growing roots all the time. You know, they say, I think I'm right here. They say that trees have as extensive a root system as they do a branch system. So we only see the top part of what's going on. And yet this abiding is this growing and deepening and rooting itself. And maybe that's what I mean when I say abiding is different than arriving. Maybe we're not trying to arrive at a place of staying put, but we're trying to abide in a place of staying put in a relationship. Maybe abiding is kind of a stick with its centeredness. We know what we're about, and we keep on trying to grow deeper and more rooted in that. Nature abides. Through all the seasons, all these things we see around us are out here, abiding, doing what they're doing. And I think for us, maybe sometimes we're more inclined to run from the seasonal changes. I know I'm more likely to run inside during the summer than I am to stay out when it's super hot or when it's raining. I don't want to be outside too long. And I wonder in those metaphors if there are ways that we might be called to not run, to allow the seasons to be what they are in our lives. Maybe that's part of what our abiding maturity comes from, is our willingness to stick with it in the midst of the seasons of our life. We're so inclined as modern Americans to be about comfort. And I wonder if that sometimes sort of permeates our spiritual lives in really negative ways. I was hearing a study this week that they were talking about the sort of permanent summer that we live in because of our electric lighting and our climate control, that we can stay in our homes and not encounter seasonal light changes and seasonal temperature changes, and how that may in fact be hurting us biologically. And I wonder if we do the same thing spiritually, that we expect sort of a permanent summer, and that's to our detriment. Tough times don't mean that God is missing. Tough times are seasons of life, just as the joy is. And so my encouragement to us this morning is to consider abiding. What would it mean to be at home in God's love, even when that doesn't feel comfortable? What would it mean to grow our roots more deeply, or to stay put enough for our roots to grow? Maybe that would happen naturally. Part of our commitment as a pastoral team has been, if we're outside, we should take advantage of being outside, not just for the beauty of the moment or the sense to be glad to be in a little bit different circumstance, but to pay attention to what we're surrounded with, that we believe in the gospel of creation, that that's one of the ways that we meet God. And so instead of doing our normal open worship time that we often close our service with, we want to create some space and time to be present, to being here. And so a couple ideas that are not new ideas, they're the same things we keep saying, and Leslie and I laugh and we say, yeah, and we do that with Advent, and we do that with Easter, we do it every year. And somehow it turns out to be a good thing, every time. And so outside, we do a lot of the same things. We have a peace trail. There should be about enough time to do a lap of that, if that's helpful to you. We have a labyrinth. There's probably not enough time to do a full labyrinth, but you could go and be on the labyrinth if you'd like. There are all of these wonderful trees, and they might have something. God might have a message through them this morning for you. You can come look at the wood round or our stumps over here if the growth rings are still speaking to you in some way, if that's a metaphor that's helpful. Or you can just be and take some time to pray and be still and reflect here this morning. So I invite you to use this time as is best for you. We'll ring the bell about 5 minutes before the end of service so we can close together in song. Let's take some time to listen in nature, friends.